I'm going to be doing a reading in Revelations chapter 21, verses 1 to 8. A new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I prepared as a new bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." He said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death."
This is, I thought, as we're starting a new year, thought I'd read this passage from Revelation, where everything is new, everything is going to be different from now on. Hallelujah. We live in a world, don't we, which is in great trouble. In fact, I heard recently there's more than 50 wars going on. 50 wars. I know we concentrate more than just more one or two, but there's more than 50 wars going on this earth at the moment. Incredible, isn't it? But he says, "I will make all things new." And as Peter said, when just after on the day of Pentecost, that Jesus Christ is going to be received up into heaven until the times of the restoration. And here we are talking about this in this wonderful revelation. Have we got a drink or anything? I'm a bit parched today. Can I borrow yours? And, which side did you drink out of? Well, bless the Lord. And this is the great hope we have. God has the final word. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he is going to, when he talks about the restoration of all things, that word restoration means he's putting all things right. And he's handing over to the proper owner. And, thank you. I don't think I'll manage all of that. But, yeah. Oh, that's... Do you want yours back? So, it's all going to be handed back. You see, God never intends that heaven should be the final destination of us. Earth is made for human beings right from the very beginning, and that is where we are going to end up. Heaven might be a little interim period, but actually we are intended for earth. And when God created the heavens and the earth, he put mankind here on earth. as his image, to reflect who he is. And of course, the whole thing went pear-shaped, disaster happened, and sin entered the world, and most of all, he was separated from fellowship with God. You know, in the garden, Adam and Eve had fellowship with the Lord, and they walked there and they could hear his voice. And you read in this passage now how everything is going to come back to even a better place than it ever was. And it's always been God's great plan to dwell with men. That is what God really wants, is to come and be with people. You know, he's always given us signposts, if you like, little hints, if you want, of what he wants. He came and he instructed the people of Israel to build him a tabernacle in the wilderness. And the point was that he could dwell there. He didn't take people up to heaven. God came down. He came down in the tabernacle of Jesus Christ. You see, this is the great wonder of it all, that he comes down to you. He comes down to me. He comes down to this earth. God comes down to earth, to human beings. Hallelujah. And, okay, heaven is his dwelling place. And it's an interim place. But ultimately, as we read here, it's going to be new heavens and a new earth. And the tabernacle of God is with men. He says here, let me just find it. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and I will be their God. And that is the very essence of Christianity. That's the very essence of what it's all about, that God is coming to dwell with us and us with him. And the tabernacle and the temple that was later built, it was for this very purpose, that God should come among men to dwell. Just like it was in the Eden, that he should walk and commune with them, and so on and so forth. And it's a wonderful thing that God hadn't thrown in the towel with this earth or mankind, but provided a way. We see later on, haven't had time to read all the chapters and so on, but you see this dwelling place, the New Jerusalem, is going to come down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And it's like a city. And it's cube-shaped. The length, the breadth, and the heights are about 1,500 miles in dimensions. And that is where we are to be. You know, God has always put little kind of highlights through the scriptures of this. You know, he talks about when he'd given the law to Moses and so on, and they broke it, and then they tried to get into the promised land, and they didn't go into the promised land. It was a failure. And yet God said, in the midst of all of this failure of everyone, he says that the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. In other words, whatever it is, he's going to have his way in time. And it's going to come to pass. And here John is revealing the apocalypse. The curtain is drawing back to see the very end result of it all. Paul talks about this. Let me just turn to this verse in Ephesians chapter 1. Just keep your finger there because I'm going to come back. But see this in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. I'll read it to you. He says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that is where we are at the moment, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, this is where John is now, he says this, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. So everything we're talking about is going to be in Christ. That is the whole intention of God. He made all things, created all things, all things are for him. And in the end, it's going to be all things in heaven and in earth are going to be in him. Sounds like an impossibility, I suppose, because everything is so different, so far away from that, what we can see. And yet, when Jesus came and tabernacled with men as the temple of God, the temple was where people could be forgiven. That's the place where they went to, where they wanted to commune with God, where a sacrifice was made, where they could find healing, where they could find where they could find a resolution for death and sorrow and pain. And all they came to the temple, Jesus Christ. And they found that in him, he was the answer to that. And we read here that there's going to be no more death. Here we are. It's a lovely verse, isn't it? And God, we're not just even talking about Jesus Christ here. We're talking about God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God, all of the Trinity, if you like, are involved in this. And in this great new event, he says, God will wipe away every tear. And there shall be no more death. Just think of that. The great enemy, death, there shall be no more. Resurrection is the undoing of death. Amen. Resurrection is the undoing of death. And in his resurrection, he declared that all those who believe in him should be set right with him, with God, should be forgiven of their sins, should be restored to be what a human being should be on this earth, to reflect what God is. That is the great commission of the people of God. You shall be witnesses unto me. Really, it means that you should reflect what he is. When he was lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. The cross is a place where he defeated death. He went right through death to the other side. And in the meantime, he bore the sins of the world on his own body on the tree. He bore the sorrows. He bore the grief. He bore the sicknesses. And most of all, I suppose, he bore death. And he took it to the grave and he killed death. And he rose again. And all those who are in Christ will know that. That we have a beginning, a new start. And the wonderful thing about this is a permanency. God, this is not a transitional thing. This is a permanent thing that God is going to come, make new heavens, a new earth, come down from God as a bride prepared for a husband. And God's plan now realized. The eyes of the blind, it says in Isaiah, shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame, it says, shall leap like a deer. The tongue shall sing. And the wilderness, out of the wilderness shall come springs of water. God is doing a new thing and will do a new thing. And it's already finished. We're in an intermediate stage on this earth. It's not the end. God is going to realize the fullness of what Christ has done on Calvary. I know I haven't got long this morning, so I'm going to finish really just with this thing. It says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. Now, what do you think that means, overcome? I don't feel much like an overcomer. I know there's things in my life that need adjusting, if you like. Things happen to me. And I think, gosh, you know, I don't feel like an overcomer. But what is an overcomer? The fact is, the scripture says, an overcomer is the fact that you still believe. You still believe. That's overcoming. When you're aware of your inadequacies, when you're aware that sometimes you fall, when you're aware you said things that you shouldn't have said or done things you shouldn't have said, but you still believe there's an eternal sacrifice in Jesus Christ whose blood will cleanse you every moment of the day. Hallelujah. That's what overcoming is. When you don't throw in the towel, when things go wrong, or you feel that you've done so much that you can't ever get up. And I know young people who've done that. They've seemed to have fallen and they've not had the encouragement, if you like, and they've thrown in the towel. But there is an eternal sacrifice where a man or a woman, no matter if they've been a Christian and they've fallen away, there is a way back and you can overcome the disgrace that you feel in your life. and you can lift up your head with tears in your eyes, of course, just like Peter when he denied the Lord and the Lord restored him. And I know folk who need that message. I do. I've got two people particularly in mind. Things have happened, and they were young people going on with the Lord, and something happened in their life which was tragic. It was a great watershed to them. I want to say this. Start believing. There's a lamb that was slain for you who can restore, can bring back to its rightful owner. He bought you with his blood. It's an eternal love he has for you. The only thing is, it says in the end of this, it says, if you're thirsty, come. If you feel a thirst in your heart, sometimes I feel desperately hungry and thirsty for God. Sometimes it feels like that. I suppose that's how we're made, but, you know, when you're feeling in the worst, it's God's provision for grace for you. Perhaps when you feel alone, perhaps some bereavement or whatever. We all have these feelings and things. But you know, he loves you. He loves you. Try and get that mindset all the time. He loves you. And in all the tragedies of our lives, and all the griefs of our lives, one day is all going to be wiped away. The gentleness of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit involved in your sorrow. He carried them. The fear of death. No more. You've been set right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're thirsty, he's there. There's a river of life. And he wants you to come and he wants you to drink of his forgiveness, his restoration, and everything that you feel that you really need as a human being to reflect your Maker. It's a wonderful thing. We've got a wonderful, loving God. And you know, the older you get, the more you realize it. The older you get, the more you realize that without his grace, and without his sacrifice, you're a lost soul. And you realize more and more and more that it all comes down to God so loved Brian Dowley that he gave his only son.